This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Greetings, listeners. Today we exist in a throwaway society, which is impacting greatly on the way we live and consequences brought about because of it. So here in the Manawatu, we've got an organisation called Environment Network Manawatu, under whose umbrella there are many organisational spokes dealing with matters relevant to this environment. So today we're talking with Dave Mollard, who's involved with community gardening. So welcome, Dave.
Kia ora.
So I understand that your official title is Kai Resilience Project Manager. So can you explain exactly what that is and what you do?
Sure, I'd love to. So it's actually the 4412 Kai Resilience Project Manager. And the 4412 represents the postcode area of the city, which is on the south side of the city. And that includes places like Riverdale, Awapuni, Highbury, Takaro, Cloverleigh, and Westbrook. And statistically, those areas are the areas of our city with the most need and the most amount of food insecurity.
All right. So, and you have a project to manage food, so to speak, in those areas.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a long-term project. What happened was in 2021, a group came together called Order Connect. Actually, they came together in 2019, but they started the Kai Security Squad in 2021. Now, Order Connect is a collaborative organization, a group of community health providers spearheaded by Mana Whenua Rangatane and Te Tihi Māori health providers, and includes a whole bunch of social agencies like Palms North City Council, the New Zealand Police, Kāinga Ora, Highbury Whānau Centre, Te Wakahuia, and it's about targeting that area of the city area with the most need, and coming up with a collaborative approach to resolving issues.
All right, and basically that is that it's a poorer economic area in the main, because obviously there are some people that are not poor. So what exactly is it that you try to do? I mean, managing health and everything in coordination with that. The gardens, I understand, is something that you do.
Yeah, the community gardens actually is how I got into this sector. I've been the kaimahi or worker at the Crewe Crescent Community Gardens and did that for 5 years. And then that land, which was Ministry of Education land, got handed back to Mana Whenua Rangatane. And so we moved and we went around the city and we looked at a whole bunch of different places where we could grow our food. And Awapuni Park was the best option. And we did a consultation period with the community. Community, and we started it up in Awapuni Park, and that's how I really developed my desire to provide the community with food. Now, my job isn't primarily community garden management now, but that is one of the streams of food that come into people's homes. We are working on a multi-level environment to try and support whānau in their own food journey. And that's right from the bottom, building actually the first step is giving people food. So I work with Just Silch, I work with Te Pātaka Kais, the food banks, all sorts of places around the city, to ensure that there is that safety net for people who are in crisis to get food straight away.
So is that what Te Pātaka Kai, Marakai Garden Foods, so that's what that is?
Yep, so that's Marakai is slightly different in that Marakai is supporting people to support themselves. So,
so gardens at home.
That's right. And we have a project that every Thursday we go and build gardens in people's homes. And that's been really successful. We've built 70 gardens in 70 different homes. And we support those people along the journey with providing them with seedlings, growing medium, and also coming back and providing them with extra support and connecting them to gardening groups.
So when you say you built gardens at homes, what was involved?
So, yeah, every Thursday we have an amazing kaimahi called Lance who goes around. She has a trailer full of compost. She has some timber frames that have been donated by the wind turbine manufacturers, and she gets the seedlings from different providers around the city, builds the garden, wheelbarrows the compost in, plants the seedlings alongside the whānau and gives them support as they go.
So they actually are building the garden themselves with her assistance.
That's correct, yeah. Right. We always ask that they have someone there because there's quite a bit of wheelbarrow and shoveling to do.
Yes, yeah. I can imagine.
And that's part of owning it. By investing physically and also with your time, it's you create ownership.
So, and then from there, like it's all very well to plant a garden, but the looking after it and everything, is that followed up or is that just left to their own devices or how does that work?
Yep, so we definitely follow up. We connect the people straight away within our community. So we have an email chain where a database where we send out regular emails about what to plant, what not to plant this time of year, what are some good tips. We also go back and visit them every after 3 months to see how they're going. And, you know, we don't always succeed. There are times when we go back and the garden's just turned to weeds. And that's the reality. The whānau may have had other challenges in their life that were more important than the garden at that stage.
Either that or they decided gardening's not for me. I'll just get it from the food bank or the supermarket.
Well, I imagine.
You try not to think that. But
yeah, I don't think it's a deliberate decision. I think other things have happened in their lives that have caused them to be distracted from gardening.
It's not good that they've got other things that have distracted them, but it is good that that's not the reason that they
unfortunately,
can't be bothered.
Unfortunately, when you live in a state of food insecurity, there's often other things that have happened in your life that create the issues that are manifesting right here, right now. And it's usually things that have happened that are beyond your control.
Right. So, and then are they assisted in other ways, so they're pointed to the Aura Connect or other organisations that may help them get through stress or counselling or whatever?
Absolutely. We focus purely on gardening.
Right.
And we believe that your self-esteem and physically and your whole water inside you is improved by gardening, by growing and eating your own food. It makes you feel good, both mentally and physically. We connect people to different groups around the city. So we have a garden hour at Te Patikitiki Library in Highbury. We also have a garden hour at Awapuni Library. That's once every 2 weeks. And we also have the Palmy Crop Swap, which is actually happening this Saturday at the Awapuni Community Centre at 2:00. And that's a place for people to come along and give away their excess food, and other people can come along and take their excess food.
So how often is that, the crop swap?
Once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah.
And it's the third Saturday or something like that?
Or? Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't run that specifically. I provide the resources for it, but I believe it is the third, whatever this Saturday is.
Oh, yeah. It is a Saturday. It's always a Saturday?
It moves around.
Not, right?
Probably the way to do it is to follow Palmy Crop Swap on Facebook, and there'll be some really good information about it there, better than what I can remember.
Palmy Crop Swap. Well, it could change as well too. So that's on Facebook. You said a Facebook page, Palmy Crop Swap.
Correct.
Right.
And just to finish off your question about providing holistic care to those people, Aura Connect is primarily a health agency, and so there are a whole bunch of different resources in there that we can push people towards and suggest they go to, get them a navigator to help them through the system.
And this garden, so how would somebody go about getting set up for one? Do they have to have any circumstances or
Yeah, we wouldn't do it in people's houses who we believe are quite well
able to go and buy.
They
the
have the resources
themselves.
To do them themselves. Right. But we're not in a place of judgment. If people want to message us through the Manawatū Food Action Network or Aupuni Palmy Crop Swap, we can organise it through that. And or if they're already connected with a social service, those social services also refer them to us. If you're in a Kaina Order home, which was formerly housed in New Zealand, they have connections with us as well.
Right. So, and it's only in that southern area, the 4412, was it 12?
4412. No, yes. Well, this project is citywide. We primarily do the work in the 4412 because that's where our connections are.
Where the greatest need is as well.
Yeah, but we acknowledge that there are other parts of the city that are desperate for these kind of programs, and we're working, my colleague Maury, so my rohi, my area is the 4412, but he does just the same work as me, but he does it throughout the city.
So are there many refugees, for example, that would take advantage of this?
Well, refugees, it's a really interesting one, and I have a deep connection to the Nepali, actually the Bhutanese community,
right,
through the Aupuni Community Garden, and they've come along with or without having lost that wisdom that a lot of Kiwis have lost about growing their own food. And so the Nepali community has been a major part of the Aupuni Community Garden for years, and they grow food, and they don't really actually need my advice for growing food. They're wonderful gardeners growing a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know about, and so we're supporting them in different ways. We're supporting them providing with community gardens. We are connecting with the other refugee communities such as the Burmese and the Afghan communities to see if we can develop a similar model for them.
So most of these, that they have their own idea about gardening, and they would do that as because that's what they would do at home if they were in Nepal or
absolutely
Bhutan or
yeah, and it's completely different circumstances that they're in. Often the people that do the gardening don't have transferable job skills, so they've come here as refugees. They may have underlying health conditions. They may have PTSD, and also their English language skills aren't good enough for them to get a job. But what they can do is grow food, and they do it wonderfully. 2 days ago, I was at a Nepali home where the whole backyard was growing food for her community. And then that same day we went to an Indonesian lady's backyard, and she was doing the same, growing chili peppers for her community.
Oh, right. So now this community garden, so how does that work?
So there are several community gardens in the city, all having slightly different kaupapa or rules. The Aupuni Community Garden works on a twofold model that we have plots for whānau. So a family can have a plot, depending on how many people in their family. They can have two or three plots, and they can grow whatever they want in there, as long as it's we have rules. Our rules are no tobacco, no marijuana, and no glyphosate.
Yeah, we might laugh about that,
yeah,
but it could be.
It's happened. Our
yes,
previous community garden, people were growing tobacco, so we thought that's not what we're about. But we also have community plots. So there are no cost to having a whānau plot, but there is an obligation to weed and plant out the community plots. And those plots are for anyone in the community walking past to grab what they want, or in times of abundance, we'll donate that food to either Just Silch or Te Pātaka Kai 4412.
So there's no problem with people, because I remember a few years ago there was a community garden, and that got cleaned out by people that I think went on to sell it for their profit. But are there problems with anything like that? Or is that
yeah, there absolutely are problems. Unfortunately, humans are humans, and sometimes we make decisions that are probably not good for the community, and so people do take food. And our policy is if people are taking food that they need to eat, that's fine. You know, that's it. But probably the frustrating thing for us is when people take food that isn't ready to eat. It looks like it's ready to eat, but it's not. And that's really me creating a better communication plan so that I can tell people, don't take these pumpkins. They're still 2 weeks away from being ready.
In other words, they would just get abandoned or chucked away or
that's
whatever,
right, yeah,
because it's
And we have learnt to grow food that's probably less high value, or maybe less easy to understand. So kumara, for example, we've had quite a bit of success growing kumara, and it never gets stolen because no one knows what it looks like.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So because there are different varieties, aren't there?
That's correct, yes.
True. Okay, so, and there's no cost to actually belong to any of these, except you are expected to go back.
Yeah.
So if you've got a whānau plot, you do that, and you help out in the community garden as well.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's what you said.
And that's the Awapuni community garden model.
Right.
There are two other, there's several other community gardens in the city, and they have a more shared policy where everything's grown collectively and everything's harvested collectively, and that works for them. And, you know, as we, in our community, we're all different, so we need a whole bunch of different answers.
And also, I guess people's tastes are different. You know, like some people say, oh, I wouldn't eat kumara.
That's
and other
correct.
People would say, oh, don't like potatoes or whatever. So, yeah. So you look at growing the things that are reasonably common and are not the top of the range expense-wise. That's what you said.
Yeah, although
you do some.
I read recently that the best value for money for growing your own food is chili peppers. And as I said yesterday, we went around to this Indonesian lady's house and she gave me a huge bag of chili peppers, which were probably worth $40 or $50 in the store. But, you know, she grew them and it probably cost her an hour's time to grow those or two
right.
hours' time. So, you know, there are some things that are a much better value to grow at home and others that aren't. And also along that journey, you learn it from failure. This year, my corn failed. And
oh, right.
That was because it was too wet. My potatoes failed because it was too wet as well. But my cucumbers were awesome.
Well, I don't grow them. My husband does. Lebanese cucumbers, and traditionally when you buy them in the store, they're sort of small.
Yep.
But these were huge things. They grew like telegraph cucumbers.
Yep.
So.
And we've noticed in the last two or three months a real desire from the community to learn more about growing food. We were only two generations past everyone growing their own food, and so we lost that wisdom. But the coming food crisis, because we are going to have a food crisis this year, we've had a housing crisis for several years, but now we're moving into a food crisis due to a whole bunch of reasons, means that it's going to be a lot more popular growing your own food.
Right, so volunteers, that's not what we're all about, but volunteers are a high part of that. As you say, these volunteers come in and they tend the garden, etc., and they can take or whatever.
Yep.
Are other volunteers outside, like, for example, you said you have lessons in how to grow things or what to grow? And
yep.
And so are there volunteers required, and if so, what for?
Absolutely. We would love some volunteers. So my colleague Maury is creating what's called the Green Team. Now, we've got several community gardens around the city and also a whole bunch of different food growing opportunities around the city. And so if we can create a database of committed volunteers who also have a lot of knowledge, physically they may not be able to do as much as they used to, but as long as they can provide advice, we came up with a sort of a calendar of different events we'll have around the city. It could be visiting the marakai at the marae on Maxwell's Line, or it could be planting out an empty kaina ora land section, something like that.
So who would they get in contact with?
With the Manawatū Food Action Network, and you can contact us on Facebook or you can come into the office at Environment Network Manawatū.
And that's where?
It's 145 Cuba Street.
145 Cuba, and it has open hours?
Yeah, we're open, I think, I'm there at 7:30 to 8 o'clock, and Kerry closes at 4. We are closed on Fridays, so come in any other time.
So Monday to Thursday?
That's correct.
Monday to Thursday, right.
So about 4:30. It's pretty casual.
Okay, so that's the Environment Network Manawatū, 145 Cuba Street.
Yeah.
8 till 4 Monday to Thursday.
Opposite Chinatown, the most popular lunch buffet in the city.
Right. And the other thing was you said Manawatū Food
Action Network. So that's
Action Network, right.
That's who I actually work for, is the Manawatū Food Action Network. And we're a collective of all these different agencies and groups that want to provide more food resilience to our city.
So that comes under the umbrella of the Environment Network Manawatū.
Yeah, they underpin us. So, yeah, we don't use the term umbrella because we're a bottom-up organisation.
Right.
So they're the foundation that we stand on.
All right, so it's sort of like the other way around.
Yeah, we've flipped the pyramid.
The basis of the pyramid.
Yep, and the whānau are at the top. The people that are in the most need plus are at the top for the Manawatū Food Action Network and for the Environment Network Manawatū, it's for the environment. That's at the top of the pyramid.
And what sort of commitment would you require from volunteers?
Well, we'll put out a calendar and we'd love you to turn up for an hour or two once every couple of weeks sort of thing.
All right.
Yeah, as much or as little as you can provide to us. The other thing we're working on is corporate working bees. We've been contacted. A lot of businesses now are starting to see that the bottom line is not just profit, but the bottom line is community well-being. And so they're starting to say, how can we invest our people into the community? And so organisations are coming to see me to do working bees at community gardens.
Right. And that's not just the Awapuni one.
No, we can direct them to all around the city. We can direct them to the food banks. We can direct them to environmental projects.
All right. So, and you'd like volunteers anyway. When will this calendar be put out?
In May. It will be put out in May.
All right. So
stand by.
May already, when you get this, hear this recording, it may already be in vogue. But if you go to the Manawatū Food Action Network, that's on the net.
Facebook, yeah, or Facebook, on the internet, yeah.
Facebook or net, and find out what's what. Or you can call in beforehand and ask. So they would ask to speak to you or to someone
on the office.
Manawatū Food
anyone
Action.
Anyone in the office can help you.
So at Environment Network Manawatū, 145 Cuba Street, from 8 till 4, Monday to Thursday. All right. So we've got the Awapuni Community Gardens, and they were set up a couple of years ago, purpose composting. That's getting to be a big thing. This Palmerston North City Council at the moment is doing a trial of 14 streets within the city environs. As to composting, now I understand that is only food composting because our compost has green, you know, branches and that sort of thing as well.
Yep,
but this is food composting only. So how would you suggest people, or what do you suggest they do with that?
Well, I think the Palmerston North City Council have done it's a great idea which they're doing, and they're trialling it, and the purpose they're trialling it is because too many of us chuck our food waste in the rubbish bin, and what that causes is a whole bunch of environmental and financial costs to all of us as ratepayers. So if we can, instead of have food waste as a negative, let's turn it into a positive by composting it and regenerating it back into our soil and growing more food from it. It's a win-win for the entire community.
So if the City Council does this trial and decide to do it citywide,
yep,
we may see that we have regular collections of food scraps. So then what would happen to the food scraps?
So, yep, they and to be clear, I don't work for the City Council.
You don't know,
I work
right,
beside
true.
Them. But I did have a meeting with them about this today. And so, yep, they're going to have a truck that goes around and picks up the curbside food scraps, chuck it in the back of the truck, then take it out to the waste recovery centre out at Maxwell's Line, turn it into compost and sell it back to the community. So it's an absolute no-brainer that we should all be doing this.
Right. Well, of course, we compost at home, and no doubt you do because you've got a
sure
garden
do.
At home.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
But if you're putting your grass clippings into the rubbish, that's probably it's actually worse to put your grass clippings into the rubbish bin than plastic, because the plastic, once it's in the landfill, isn't causing greenhouse gases, whereas the grass is. So please, please consider what you're doing with your green waste and come up with a solution. And Manawatū Food Action Network can help you with that solution.
I didn't think we were allowed to put our grass clippings in the rubbish bin.
Some people do.
There's lots of things that go in places that they shouldn't do. Now, Mayor also mentioned when I interviewed him that what are those things in the sinks called?
Incinerators.
You know, incinerators. He said they're one of the worst possible things for this because it is very difficult and expensive to separate out the food scraps rubbish from the water, which is what they basically want to have coming down your sinks.
Yep.
So, folks, if you can stop using your incinerators, that will be great and helpful.
Absolutely. Our wastewater system is struggling as it is. The more stuff we put into it that doesn't need to go into it, it's costing us all money and time, and it's costing our river.
All right. So, what was your inspiration to take up the position that you have?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I've been working in the Aupuni Community Garden for years and just been sort of touching on food insecurity. But then I got a job as the general manager of Just Silch, which is an amazing community organisation, and I saw the absolute need for what they're doing in our city. And I realised that just giving out food to people is only part of the answer. It's only 10% of the answer. We actually need to provide people with the tools so that they can sort themselves out. And giving out food is the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. Teaching people to grow their own food and to budget better and to only buy in season is the safety net at the top of the top of the cliff.
So it's the same sort of thing as the saying is, teach a man to fish and he can feed his family.
Yeah, actually, do you know what? That saying's really important, and we adapt that saying. So it says, teach a man to fish and he'll give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. We actually say, give a person a fish and teach them to fish, because it's really hard to fish when you're hungry. So that's do true. Both.
Right, so the same thing as with gardening. Now, how much room would you need in your backyard to have a garden?
It depends how much you want to grow. And so we have a lot of whānau who are living in transitional housing or emergency housing, and they have no room at all. So we've got a bucket garden program. So we provide them with buckets, soil, and they can grow parsley. And, you know, you're not going to feed your family on parsley, but you are going to provide, you're going to enhance your own mana by providing a little bit of the food you need to eat by growing it. And so that's the minimum. You need a place to put a bucket in the sun. And obviously, the bigger the better, the more food you can grow, depending on how much time you can commit to it.
Right. And hints for beginning gardeners?
Ask. Always ask your neighbour. Ask the person down the road. There is someone within 10 houses of you that is growing their own food really successfully, and they will know the very local condition, what works and what don't. So don't be afraid to ask, but also be prepared for failure. Despite your best efforts, some of your food won't be edible.
Well, you mentioned some of yours didn't do well this year.
Whether it's because of weather conditions or animals or bugs and stuff, or just life.
Well, we found we had a big bumper crop of tomatoes this year, and nearly everybody that we spoke to who grows tomatoes said theirs weren't very good this year.
Oh, okay.
So, but it must have been, they were called big boy tomatoes, so it must have been the variety.
Yep.
But anyway, so we've run out of time, so thank you very much, people, and thank you very much for coming along, Dave. That's been very informative. So remember, if you want to volunteer, go on the Manawatū Food Action Network Facebook or website, call into Environment Network Manawatū 145 Cuba Street on a Monday to Thursday between 8 and 4 and find out all there is to know, and especially if you have skills and everything that you can help pass on, please do get in touch. They'd love to hear from you. So thanks again, Dave.
Kia ora.
Thank you.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.